Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oh, mate, these ones are going to rustle your jimmies in a good way.
my jimmies are fully prepared to be rustled. Yeah, go on then.
This is in a book, so it has to be 100% true.
Oh.
Hello and welcome to Weird Tales and the Unexplainable. Today, your host is me, Tiss. My co-host, as always, Bob and Beef. Say hello.
Hello.
I was trying to say it at the same time as you.
We're back.
Hey, everyone. This is Bob. We're back, baby.
Back. And this is Beef. I'm also back.
Baby.
Baby. I've never gone away. I'm always here.
What season is this? Is there a season number?
No, just Christmas. I guess we do four seasons a year, so I guess this is winter season. Or is it autumn?
We're one season closer to our next tattoo.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that's how we'll do it. So, yeah, this is the November-December season. 2021, snappy title.
I was going to get a Mothman back piece on our 1,000th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, all of us.
Get your wings attached to a little Mothman between them.
Oh my God, that's fucking genius. I need to do that. I need to do that. I genuinely do.
The episode 200, God. If you did that, I'll fucking kiss your spine.
I'm going to do that anyway, man. Fuck, that's a great idea.
Get it done for the next recording.
Yeah.
Do it.
Do it.
Poo yourself. Poo yourself.
Okay, so
you certainly have got a really fun one for us today. You keep egging it. I feel like you over-egged it.
This episode is just a return to where we got started and just random stories, random little tears, and just whatever. Just a bit of a freeform, to be honest.
Exactly what we need after the last season.
I've got a book called Conspiracy Encyclopedia.
Whoa.
That looks great.
Look at that.
Someone bought me this for my birthday ages ago. Like, I'm talking like probably like 15 or 20 years ago. No, it couldn't be 20.
Oh, wow.
15 years ago, maybe.
Really?
Maybe. No, maybe not that long. Maybe like 12, but still fucking ages ago.
Look at the date inside.
It's the date in the cover, long before the pod existed.
The date in the cover, of course.
Publication date.
As long as it was like published the same year that...
It looks like something that Scully would roll her eyes at that was on, like, Mulder's desk when she walked in.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
2006.
Oh, wow, right. Yeah, so it is, like, 15 years ago. You're right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool. And you've only just cranked it out now on episode, like, 170 or whatever we're on
now.
Yeah,
you just remembered
I've literally never read it. but...
So, we've been doing a podcast about conspiracies for 6 years and you've only just pulled it out.
That's how much content we've still got left in us.
Yeah.
He's going to open it now and be like, no, we've done that.
Yeah, he hasn't actually referenced it yet. He's just going to read it on the episode.
No, it's great. It's absolutely amazing. And it's interesting that even back then I was, even though I wasn't obviously interested enough to read the book, someone thought I was interested enough to buy me the book.
Someone knew. I know what Adam likes.
Yeah.
I know what Adam's going to start a podcast about in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
I know what Adam's going to need for episode content when he runs dry after 150 episodes.
Do you know what I love more than you owning that book is that you've owned it and moved with it like 3 times.
Oh no, it's been at my parents for a long time. I got it out of the attic. When I saw it, I was like, that is gold.
Did you keep just getting it out of boxes and going, I must read that one day, and just putting it on a bookshelf?
That might be good for the podcast.
I just flicked through it and didn't actually read any of it.
To be fair, I've had that Strange But True book, and I haven't actually I've referenced it recently, but I've not actually used anything from it yet.
Exactly.
And that's even older.
Dude, if I'm going to read a book, I'm going to read something better.
Awesome. So we're just going to do like a whistle-stop tour of different things.
Have you picked a few from it, or are you just...
I was toying with the idea of making some sort of game which like related to numbers and pages, but you know what, I've found like a little section, and there's different sections. So the book has like assassination conspiracies, disinformation conspiracies, global conspiracies, military conspiracies, medical conspiracies, stuff like that. Like,
oh, so sections. These are all the different chapters.
Secret societies as well at the back. So, let's just pick a subject. And I've got disinformation because it really is interesting. I've just found a few bits and just fucking go from there.
So you're just going to really wing it? You haven't got any picked out that you definitely want to tackle?
Oh, a few that I definitely want to tackle for sure, yeah.
Oh, but just a couple of random
ones. But also, we can definitely freeform from the rest of it as well.
Cool.
But yeah, sounds good. However you want to do it.
Start out with one that you've picked.
Yeah.
And then we'll go from there.
So the disinformation one, it starts, and this is like a really, this is a really contentious issue, but it's really interesting, about the church control of information.
Oh.
In medieval times. Again. And it literally blew my mind that it said about, like, Latin and like literature being solely the sort of what's the word, like, people from the church were basically the only people could read the Latin, or affluent scholars essentially.
You won't believe that, but that's what I was studying last week.
No way.
Yeah, I was talking about I was learning about Latin and how the higher classes and the regals and that were the ones that spoke Latin. And
and
well, you think that's still true today? Like,
no, totally. Yeah, I can't speak totally Latin. Absolutely today as well. But it's nuts that back then it was probably more pronounced because people genuinely didn't have a common written language.
Oh yeah, that was the way of communication. There's like multiple languages knocking around the country. There wasn't one unified language. The higher classes spoke Latin, and then eventually said, you know, we've got to put this together into some sort of normal language that we can all understand each other. We need one for government and one for law and things like that. That's why English came about, as a sort of amalgamation of everyone that had been there, the Angles, the Saxons, the Jutes, the Romans. Stop me. I'm basically doing my degree.
No, do it. This is interesting. We can get a degree off of you.
Yeah, and then actually, when the Normans came, we all just spoke French for 300 years.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is still fresh in your head from last week.
So wait, where did the English language go in the interim?
It was never fully formed. Oh. And then it was sort of like, when the Anglo-Saxons and Jutes came over here, it was sort of a mix of Celtic languages that we spoke. So Scots Gaelic, Welsh, Cornish, and all that stuff. And then they brought over all this like Dutch sounds and Germanic and all that stuff, and it sort of mingled together. But then the Normans came and put a stop to that with the conquest in 1066. And after that, we all spoke French.
Right.
And then eventually English came about after all that. eventually. And then there was, you know, I've been reading Old English, and it doesn't look anything like or sound anything like the way we speak English today. It's almost like another language. We have letters that we don't have anymore. And
so that was medieval times then that came about.
Yeah. It's interesting stuff. English has been around for about 1,500 years in some form, but was not spoken for all of that time in prominence. Yeah.
That's mad.
Yeah.
I just found it nuts that there's like a time when someone was that powerful that they could literally control information and lock it with language. Like, it didn't need to be locked.
Isn't that what still happens today?
Yeah, I was going to say, it'd be crazy to imagine a time like that. Yeah. Now it's the way we all speak English, but it's the way.
No, but when it's so pronounced, you know what I mean? We kind of... We do have like our own literature. We have our own sort of stuff, but there's obviously a lot in Latin. But back then they literally had nothing else.
Yeah, well, they could control people because people couldn't. Not everyone could speak the same language, read whatever. It's the same as language is the ultimate form of control. Like I'm doing about. Colonialism this week, and when you think about the English colonies in India, when they went over there, India had no common language. There was loads of Indian languages in the country, depending on what part of India you're from and stuff. And when the English got over there, we said, well, how are we gonna rule? How can we control? There's not even like one language that everyone speaks here. And so they said, well, we'll rule through language. We'll make them learn English because then they'll all be speaking the same language.
Yeah.
And that's how we controlled through language. And we built English schools and made the kids speak English. And it created a class divide because the more elites were the ones we put through the school. And then we had them as the rulers in name only to run the place.
Yeah.
It's language has always been used for control.
That's crazy. It's so nuts.
Well, it gives you power, doesn't it? You think of the access as well. So if you can speak English in this world, you automatically have an advantage over lots of other people.
Yeah.
We've got a guy in our church who spoke about. So he's from Nigeria. He's from southern Nigeria, and he was talking about how, like he said, I know that British people tend to kind of roll their eyes at like British ministries that go over to different countries and you know, like share the gospel, but basically then go and set up schools and do all these things. And he said, you know, nowadays it's kind of like not frowned upon, but it's kind of cliche to kind of go to Africa but he said, but then I have my education to thank because of the British people that came to Nigeria and set this all up, and I wouldn't have this and I wouldn't have that. And he said, but it does give me an advantage over, you know, my friends back home. And
there's definitely good and bad stories from all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Cause I was reading a lot about the British schools that were set up in Kenya.
All right,
in the last couple of weeks, and there's some pretty grim stories from those. But then, I don't know. Language is people say religion creates all wars, but language is a pretty naughty one as well. But normally, language isn't used for war; it's used for control.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you could say that maybe. Yeah, that's the way he put it. He said, I suppose that's the only pro that came from British Empire is the fact that I learned English and I can go to school and I got an education and I now have advantage over other people because...
So, without that empire, the whole world wouldn't need to be speaking English because we just expect everyone to speak it. So there's two sides to it all.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's been a rough week of study this week because it's all... about colonialism for me.
Yeah, doesn't sound very fun.
There's some grim stories in amongst it. The more you read, you're like, oh God, you know, that sort of shameful of the actions of your country from the past, but it's so long in the past. Like, what can I do about it? But still be like, oh God, we did some pretty nasty stuff.
Yeah.
To say the least. But Tis, carry on. I sort of hijacked it for a bit there.
No, that's the idea, to be honest. These are just sort of entry points into conversations that are interesting to me. I just found that fucking nuts.
Maybe one day I'll do a full-on episode about weird language stories and stuff.
Yeah,
that'd be good.
Because it even mentions like merchants and people that did teach themselves to read in the native tongue still would have a barrier to literature, which was predominantly Latin. So it's like all of the information and sort of knowledge in a secret language.
Well, it was massively controversial. The I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but the bloke who basically printed the first Bible in English so that people could read it and keep it not elite. It was massively controversial that he did it, but it spread the message to the general populace, or at least those that could read then.
Yeah.
That's why there was such a push, or there has been such a push in recent decades when it comes to biblical interpretation as well. The way we interpret the Bible stems from those early translations, which, you know, there are some like ancient Hebrew words for which there's no English translation. There's no words that you could translate to. So you kind of get the closest thing. And it's these last few decades where we've had other translations coming in which give a much truer representative of what that, you know, what that scripture is saying.
It's the same for translating any language to between each other. There's some ways of saying things in some languages that you can't quite get the exact translation. And then if you use one that you think is, well, that kind of means that, then people will read it a different way. You know, translation's a tricky thing.
Yeah. I mean, how did they translate the first words? It was Rosetta Stone, right? Was that something like, not the first words. It was the Greek language, right?
What were, are you asking, like, what was the oldest language?
No.
Wouldn't that be something
the
like
Rosetta Stone
Sanskrit?
Was the Rachel. Greek? Was it a translation of the Greek?
Rachel sat behind me working and she has no idea.
What's the Rosetta Stone? Ask Rachel that.
What's the Rosetta Stone?
I did have my timeline right next to me, but I think I've left it in the lounge. Oh.
So it's an announcement. I think it's from like a king.
Rosetta Stone.
About four different languages, so we can translate.
Nice.
Oh. So, sorry, I missed all of that because I was asking Rachel what the Rosetta Stone is.
Yeah. What is it?
She said it was like an announcement or something that was made by an Egyptian king.
Oh.
Yeah. But it was written in like four different languages so that people could understand it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And I don't from know. That, we had like four languages that said the same thing. So if you could break one of them, you could break all of them? Is that the gist of it?
I don't know.
I swear the Rosetta Stone was a massive, massive like breakthrough in language.
Are you thinking of the Blarney Stone?
Blarney Stone?
That's something to do with language. Hasn't that got to do with snogging?
Yeah.
Kidney stone.
Before we continue, I do want to say to listeners, I'm incredibly tired. So if I fudged any dates on my language stuff, you know, just I know, you know, I can't remember what I said, but I give you the rough idea of it.
Yeah, sorry, carry on, Tis.
Right, so I've got a good first conspiracy. That was just a little tear from the start because it's literally just a disinformation sort of intro, that bit. And I was just reading through that and it was nuts. But so the BBC has a conspiracy about it. Do you know about this?
BBC has a lot of skeletons in its closet, I think.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
The BBC is filthy.
What would you guess at, like, the BBC?
Well, seeing as the publication date of that book, I guess it's not the conspiracy of covering up Jimmy Savile's evil deeds.
That's not even a conspiracy, though. That's just what they did.
No, but when he was at it was a conspiracy.
Right. Oh, no, it's not about
because
Jimmy
people
Savile.
Knew it was happening and then covered it because they were like, he was doing good stuff for charity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was doing stuff for the hospital.
Yeah.
Doing some very crazy shit.
Wasn't there a cafe at Stoke Mandeville called Savile's?
I was working in that hospital when it all came out about him.
Really?
Yeah, I was. Me and my dad were doing. There was doing an extension on it, and we were doing the dry lining on the extension.
Oh, right.
And when we was in there, we'd have our breakfast in the cafe on site.
Was it called Savile's?
It was called Jimmy's Calf, named after Jimmy Savile. Jimmy's. And the hallway leading up to it was all pictures of him at the hospital. Literally the next day, all the pictures are off the wall and they'd renamed the cafe something like Bite to Eat or something like that.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. Stoke Mandeville Hospital.
So you were at the hospital when it broke, when that news broke?
I was working at that hospital. Like, I was worked there in the day and it broke that night and I worked there the next day. I saw the instant change.
So wow. Wait, they like got in there in the middle of the night and changed it all.
Yeah, fucking that's took them pictures down. Fucking the pictures were
brilliant.
Gone.
Someone's just woke up in cold sweats, just like, fuck, I need to get these down.
Get that fucking sign down. Literally, you would not feel happy in Jimmy's Calf the morning after it happened. Well, think about it. You guys have been to my flat in Leeds. When we went to Thought Bubble, the Royal Armouries Museum, that building opposite used to be called Savile's Hall.
Yeah, I
when
know.
You guys were here, it was Savile's Hall.
Yeah.
Really?
Years ago, yeah. Now it's, I can't remember what it's called.
I mean, they would have heard about that before it broke. They would have had time to, because you can't rebrand something overnight.
No, yeah.
Was it like Bite to Eat?
I don't know if it had the proper signs up.
I was
going to
say, was it just written on like A4?
Yeah,
Bite
I don't
to
think
eat?
It had like a proper sign up. But that, during the time I worked there, the proper sign could go up. Like my memories definitely conflate and stuff. But you did see the difference overnight, yeah. What a naughty man. But that is not the conspiracy we're talking about.
No,
we're talking
no,
about
any other BBC conspiracies?
I don't know. I'm not sure of any conspiracies. I just know that the BBC, like particularly these days, I think there's less. They seem like a less trustworthy source. They're not like the stalwart.
Is it that they used to broadcast in Latin so the regular people could understand what they were to do?
Trevor McDonald speaking in Latin. Oh no, he's on ITV, isn't he? No, I don't. Actually, I wouldn't. I wouldn't have the first idea what this is about.
No. Okay.
Don't think so.
Bob?
I get the feeling that you're going to say it and we're going to go, oh, of course.
Yeah, I can't think off the top of my head.
Okay, so the first bit basically describes the BBC. We obviously know about the BBC, so I'll skip that. The conspiracy theory is that the BBC, although generally regarded as the bastion of incorruptible truth, has its reputation tarnished by past involvement with intelligence agencies.
Yeah, I can believe that.
This inevitably leads to accusations that its news agenda is sometimes influenced by intelligence community.
Yeah, I can believe that.
You can say that about any news source. Is there such thing as impartial news source or a reputable news source? I like the idea of one.
The BBC was supposed to be, right? Because we pay for
it. They used to be.
Yeah.
I think... Certainly before the pandemic, it felt like, and probably before Brexit and everything else, it felt like they were like the stalwart for journalism. Like you could always trust the Beeb. Right. They'd always do right by you and their journalism was always like rock steady. You could trust them. And it seems now like...
Do they not lean one way or the other politically? I know I haven't watched BBC News for so many years.
I think now they would probably lean more to the right, for sure.
Oh, interesting.
Like, throughout the pandemic, they've been much more supportive of, sort of, the to-the-right scientists.
You try not to say
like,
his name. Oh, the scientists.
The doom, you know, the doom and gloom guys, rather than giving it more of a well-rounded view. And, yeah, you definitely get the sense anyway that you can't really... They're all the same now, aren't they?
Do you think that's within the nation's interest, though? Because if we're going through a crisis and our only news source that we're looking to for answers is going, well, the Prime Minister's a bellend. Well, he is. But do you not think that will divide the country more and stress everyone out, thinking, God, this is the fucking dick that's steering the ship through this, than if they said... Which, like a lot of the news sources I say are like really like, yeah, Boris is saving us, he's getting us through this. And I'm like, so are we talking about the same Boris?
I wasn't really thinking in terms of bots.
I'm always thinking in terms of bots.
Oh, I see. And that's why you're so stressed all the time. Just don't think about it.
You know what's amazing? When I drive south for work, there's a bit down the motorway near me. When I'm driving home, as you get closer to Leeds, on one of the big bridges over, it's like, go home, Boris, or something, or turn around, Boris, is on one of the bridges. And it always makes me smile.
No, I think what I mean is there seems to be, or certainly in the early days of the pandemic, there seemed to be, it seemed to be quite obvious that the BBC weren't being critical of him at all, and they weren't asking questions that would put him under pressure, really. Like, maybe if you were to watch, like, Andrew Marr or something like that, then yeah, maybe. But in the briefings, like, they were doing we didn't really watch them, but the daily briefings, like, apparently they didn't really hold him under much scrutiny, which is why it seems like they've been able to just get away with everything and do whatever they, you know, whatever the hell they want, because no one's scrutinizing their actions and just pretty much just listening to what they're saying. Which then in turn made people question the BBC. It's like, oh, the BBC is supposed to be our voice. They're supposed to be almost like asking the questions that we would want to ask, not just the nice, comfy questions that journalists are taught to ask.
Yeah,
the BBC is supposed to hold our leaders to account because we can't do it, so they're supposed to do it for us.
Yeah, and we all hate them.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. Which is what I think the GB News was supposed to be. There was this new channel.
Oh.
Yeah, I've seen this. It's so ridiculous.
But at one point, about a month ago, it had exactly zero people watching it.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'd never heard of it until now.
Because it was a right-wing news channel, and then someone took the knee live on air and just alienated the entire, like, watcher group.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, that's hilarious. I remember.
The whole viewership were just like, nah, fuck this.
And they got trolled. Did you hear this? They got trolled by Sky News. Because they were really cocky. They were like, yeah, Sky News. On Twitter, they were like, Sky News, we're coming for you. BBC, we're coming for you. This is the new news channel that you want to watch. I don't know. I wonder if they were trying to be a bit more like Fox, a bit like in your face and a bit, you know, aggressive.
Yeah, probably.
And so then Sky produced, they did like a 5-minute segment of a man eating a sausage roll. That was literally it. It was just like a looped footage of someone eating a sausage roll. And there are more people watching that on Sky News than the people watching GB. And it was
the world is insane. The world is mental.
It's gone mental. Yeah, we are our own parody at the minute.
Yeah.
It's mental.
That's mad.
My favourite thing, this isn't really relevant actually, but I just had a memory, so I'm going to tell it anyway before Tis gives us the evidence. My favourite live broadcast on television happened when I was on my summer holidays in like year 9 or 10 of school. And I was sitting in my living room with Jibs, shout out to Jibs, and we were watching OK TV, which was the daytime TV show of Ronan Keating at the time. Beef might know what I'm going to talk about because he's
I remember
trying
this,
to spit his drink out. We were sitting there watching it, and I can't remember who the female host was, but it was Ronan Keating was the main guy. Oh, if anyone's got any questions, please call in and ask anything. And eventually they got his phone call through. This is the most dog shit, low budget daytime TV talk show ever. And they were like, hi, yeah, I've just got a question for Ronan, actually. He's like, yeah, go ahead. Me and my friend here were just wondering why OK TV is so fucking shit.
Oh my God.
Something happened there, like trying to be all like cool about it on live TV at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was amazing.
That's genius.
I think about it all the time. And I just think it was like a teenage girl, and I'm just like, whoever this teenager was, she fucking rules. So if you're out there listening to Weird Tales, I've always held you in the highest esteem because that's fucking funny.
That's genius.
I think I never saw it, but I keep looking on YouTube just in the hope.
I look on YouTube.
Someone
you know
put
what?
It on
I
there.
Even searched it on Google very recently because I told it to Becca, and it And I was like, it was so gratifying that I didn't misremember it, because there was a news article from back then, like, of people complaining, and it said the quote, like, why is OK TV so fucking shit, was in the article, and I was like, yes, I remembered it right.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just laugh because I remember you telling me that story years ago.
So good.
Have you found the episode then, Bob?
No, I can't find, there's no one was watching that show, let alone recording it.
Jesus.
But I found an article online about how there was like complaints because someone swore on the show or something. Yeah. But anyway, give us the evidence for the BBC.
Complaints, can someone abuse Ronan Keaton? So the evidence against the BBC being in cahoots with MI5 or intelligence communities, an infamous spy, Guy Burgess, worked as a reporter for the BBC from 1936 to 1944. He was apparently given the job of delivering secret messages to French Premier Edouard Daladier and Italian dictator Benito Mussolini. While in the employ of the BBC, he worked as a double agent for the Russian and British governments.
Is this true or speculation? Is it a conspiracy?
This is in a book, so it has to be 100% true.
It's infallible, yeah.
It's not on the internet, mate. It's in a book, so just... So
it's in print. You can't print lies.
That's it, exactly. It costs too much to lie.
they make stuff up.
During World War II, the BBC made invaluable contributions to the war effort by broadcasting Allied propaganda, coded messages to resistance fighters in occupied Europe. During the Cold War, the same propaganda, they broadcast it. What's the thing? So some dude called Sir Ivan Kirkpatrick recommended getting the BBC on board to broadcast propaganda, saying that it was like its most important ally in propaganda. And also, this is interesting, in the 1940s, a practice of vetting all BBC staff by the special assistant to the director of personnel was initiated. Their job was to provide a list of all job applicants to MI5, who then provide clearance or declared the applicant a security risk. The procedure was stopped in 1985 after an expose by the Observer newspaper, which also revealed that no government had ever given permission for such vetting.
I mean, we're laughing about it, but I could believe all this.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Because propaganda, the media and propaganda and stuff, it's always been kind of what it's all about.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always an agenda behind the reporting, isn't there?
To believe that our government doesn't have weapons to keep us in line, that's naive, right?
Yeah. Yeah, ultimately, it's like you could argue that a lockdown is a Tory government's dream come true, because they can control everyone, control people's movements, see people where at all times.
Yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. Doesn't that make it easier for you? If you're governing someone, it's easier if they just do what you tell them to. Makes your job a lot easier.
We all know it now, though, and we don't care. I watched I don't know if you guys have ever seen Citizen 4, the documentary about Edward Snowden and all the leaks and stuff. It came out 2016, but I watched it last night. And in that, I'm like, God, this guy put himself on the line big time to out this information about how, you know, all everyone's phones, you know, as an abuse of power after 9/11 and the powers that it gave the American government and stuff like that, they abused that power and tracked everyone's phones. That's what it was about. And basically the rules, the new rules were so wishy-washy, it just gave them the ability to just track whoever the fuck they wanted. And, you know, everyone's being spied on. And it was shocking at the time when it came out, and he had to go into hiding, and he still lives in Russia now to this day. And I'm just like, wow, what set of balls on this guy. But it didn't matter. It didn't do anything. Now we just joke about it. We were just like, yeah, we know we're being listened to, lol. And I'm like, God, this guy went through all that to like give us the information and say, they're all, you know, everything is being tracked. Everything is being monitored. Here's the proof. And we all just went, yeah, no.
What's his name? Sorry, the guy?
Edward Snowden.
Okay.
Mm.
The documentary is really interesting, by the way. It's it was all filmed inside. It's the footage of when he was like giving the journalists all the information and hiding in a hotel room in Hong Kong. So it's all just footage from inside the hotel room while he's like shitting himself.
Where can you watch it?
I had it, a copy of it from ages ago that I never got around to watch, but I can't remember where I got it from because it was recommended to me to watch. I know it was the Oscar-winning doc the year it came out, but it's okay. Super interesting, and it really is the start of that, like, our information is the biggest asset the government can take from us and track us and follow us anywhere and know everything about us, and we all know it now, but we just don't care. And it was, like, so sad to watch this film that's not that old and see how much people cared then when the shock when the information came out, to now people just don't care. They're like, yeah, I know, lol, but I get good deals because they know what I want on adverts. It's such an invasion of privacy. And he says what he was saying is it made the internet become what it is. Well, actually, kind of, he said what it's becoming. And it's, oh, when I was watching, I was like, it's what it has become, where it's not what it's out to be. He was like, when the internet first was created, it was created that, like, everyone sort of did have an equal voice. And it was like a place that anyone could be free. And some kid from this part of the world could talk to some professor from this part of the world, and they'd be on equal footing. But the way it's been used is that we're so monitored, we can't be free, because everything we click on is traced. Everything we say is monitored and attacked by whatever, and used for propaganda and used for this, that, and the other. And because of the way we're tracked, that's created the internet as we know it today, which is a fucking nightmare. So yeah, it was really weird watching that in hindsight, and about how, like, none of us care. We know it happens and we don't care.
I think some of it is just feeling pretty powerless. There's nothing you can do to change it. And actually, most of the time, whilst it is incredibly invasive, the reason it works is because it doesn't necessarily feel that invasive.
No.
Because if you have an advert on your phone and you're probably going to buy that product anyway, who cares? Speaking, like, this is obviously devil's advocate. Like, I think it's pretty crummy.
I know. I just worked with someone who was, like, very pro on that stuff, and he couldn't believe that I put on privacy settings and stuff. He was like, it's brilliant. What are you talking about? Nowadays, you get advertised things you actually want. It's good that they track you. And he couldn't get that I thought it was bad.
Yeah.
And all we had was, like, praise for, like, the way the internet works now and how his phone tracks everything and all this stuff. And I was just like, oh my God, this is horrible.
Yeah, totally. It's nuts. It's like, the more it knows, some people genuinely find it helpful but don't understand what you're giving up for that privilege of, what, like, a little bit of saving time.
We are powerless against it, though.
To a certain degree.
How many times have you been talking about something and then something on your phone appears of what you've been talking about? Like a day later or something, you're like, oh, that's weird, I was just talking about that yesterday.
Do you know what? My phone doesn't know shit about me at the moment, because whenever I pop on Instagram or something like that, I don't follow anyone that I know. It's just literally to find things that I need to find. And the same with Facebook.
Yeah, but I'm talking about stuff like, a little while ago, I made a joke about, like, tax evasion. In a workplace, I made a joke about it, like, oh, they'll probably do me for tax evasion or something like that. Not true. It was a joke, but I can't even remember what it was about. The next day, I got one of them, like, scam phone calls where it's like a robotic voice going, are you worried about tax evasion? Or, like, being, it's like, you are being tracked for, like, tax fraud or something like that. Like, it's a scam.
Right.
But if I made that joke because I was actually worried that I'd been doing something dodgy and got that, I would have gone, fuck, thinking they've got me.
That's mad.
It's a scam. Mm. It was all a scam to shit me up, to make me hand over details. But I was like, there's no way my phone's not listening to me for me to get that call the day after I was joking with people about tax evasion. No way.
Yeah.
But what can I do about it? Because that, as a world, we've rolled over and gone, yeah, but I get good adverts on Twitter now.
Well, we're all consumers. We consume all day, every day, for the whole of our lives, don't we? And so, you know, if you go on, that's how, you know, social medias, that's why they have all these algorithms in place, because if they can keep you on YouTube for hours, ultimately they're, you know, they're gaining money from that, from the ads that you're watching when you go on those videos. And then eventually, hopefully, you get so sick of those ads that you just buy YouTube Premium and pay £10 a month for that.
Do you know anyone that actually does that, though?
Sorry?
Do you know anyone that actually does that?
Oh, I do know someone that's done that, yeah.
The YouTube ad that gets me every time is, like, all these side hustle adverts. Like, just every single advert is about someone, like, you should start a side hustle. If you're opening an Amazon shop, don't do that. This is the best way to make money. And it's like...
Oh, my God. I saw Adam Buxton live the other night, and he was talking about that on his live show, and everyone in the audience was, like, laughing and going, yeah. And I was like, I don't know what anyone's talking about.
Yeah, I get those all the time.
So the fact that you brought that up again.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't
really
watch much YouTube, though.
No.
But everyone in the room was like, oh, yeah, like laughing. Like, yeah, I know what you mean.
No, I don't
on
know.
On YouTube, it is totally... Like, that's a really popular advert. I guess it's a popular advert for whoever watches.
He was laughing, you know, about, like, he sees that advert multiple times every single day and he still doesn't really understand what it's trying to sell him. So how effective is it?
No, that's it, yeah.
He said by the end of it, he's like, I still don't understand.
It's so funny.
But you think, like, years ago, you used to... have to have the adverts and sit through the adverts if you were watching something on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not like now where if they're on, you just sit and browse on your phone for 3 minutes rather than, you know, wait for your show to start.
But then when you browse on your phone, recorded. You're getting more adverts. So it's exactly. Just like you can't escape it.
I know people, no. And myself pretty much included with Lids, is that if it's live, we'll record it and watch it later.
So you can skip the adverts?
Yeah, we barely watch live TV now. We
won't watch it while it's live because it's adverts. Wow. It's just pure fucking waiting around for things to happen. Especially on, like, terrestrial, like, ITV and BBC. No, actually, not BBC. Just ITV and that. It's just...
Channel 4.
Crazy amounts of adverts.
Mm.
And they're all really crazy and shit. Like, Bosch have got the fucking Like a Boss song as their, like, thing. Have you seen that?
No.
Like a Boss by Lonely Island is now Like a Bosch. It's a Bosch advert.
Oh my God.
Like a Bosch. No. That's fucking mental, isn't it? They've stolen a Lonely Island song for an advert to sell drills and power tools and home equipment.
That's what I mean. Like, at least in, like, our American listeners, I really empathize with you guys. Like, the amount of adverts in a half an hour TV program. Like, when we were in Minnesota years ago, I watched The Simpsons, and it was like 40 minutes just to get through the 20-minute
episode.
They've
actually had to change the way they write The Simpsons now, because it used to be three acts with two ad breaks in the middle. And now, because they want to put an extra ad break in, they have to write them as four acts, and the last act is like less than a minute long. So they have to have a little wrap-up epilogue, and it affects the writing, like... This is just weirdly paced because a three-act structure works in storytelling, and they have to kind of do it four to fit in another ad break, and they've had to shorten the actual length of the episode because the adverts and make it four acts, and it's like...
Yeah, that's crazy.
What the fuck, man? Americans, when we have The Simpsons on telly over here, we have one ad break in the middle. One.
And it's, what, like 3 minutes?
Yeah.
3 minutes tops?
Well, this episode of The Simpsons... Well, that's what I mean. It was... An episode of The Simpsons is only 22 minutes, so they put all those ads around it.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Mm. And especially when you watch, like, so I was watching The American Office today, and there are bits where you're like, there's an ad break there.
Yeah, yeah.
And it breaks the flow of what's going on. And, like, every now and then you're like, well, they've, like, obviously writers are clever and they know how to disguise, you know, and work around it. But if you've got two ad breaks in one, like you say, then you can kind of get through it. But when's it going to end? It's going to get to the point where a Simpsons episode's going to take an hour and a half.
Yeah, this is Tiz, for a fun episode. We've ended up being really depressing. We're talking about being
Tiz.
We should try and bring it back on track with something more fun, because we've talked about, like, Latin religious control. We've talked about fucking being mined for our information.
Yeah, it's a hard life. And we're not going to make it any easier.
Bring us back round to
it. Oh, you said it was going to be fun.
I lied! John Birch Society. Have you heard anything about this? Does this interest you at all?
Name rings a bell. What is that?
It's a right-wing organisation that disseminated a global conspiracy theory.
Oh, God.
Sorry. Sorry, the disappointment in your voice when you said right-wing. They're a right-wing organisation. Oh. it was so deflating. It was like a child opening a really boring present on Christmas Day.
Instant dislikes.
Sucks. Yeah, I don't want to hear conspiracies about right-wing organizations.
Okay.
I believe them.
Well, this is a right-wing organization where this dude John Birch, businessman Robert Welsh created the John Birch Society, and it was based on a missionary called John Birch who, while preaching in China, worked for American intelligence, and he was killed by the Chinese troops, and it kind of made him into a martyr for communism, so it was like against communism, and had loads of members, 100,000 members in 1961, and it was a pressure group against communism. But the conspiracy is that they purported was that there is a global communist conspiracy. Robert Welsh traced this back to the German Masonic secret society, the Illuminati. He believed that Karl Marx, the author of the Communist Manifesto, was in the pay of the Illuminati, and that they had started both French and Russian revolutions.
So with the Illuminati, do you not I'm not sort of two minds about the Illuminati, because one side I'm like, oh, here we go. It always, every time we talk about these right-wing conspiracies, organizations, blah, blah, it always, like, I was waiting for you to say the word Illuminati. It's always like, yeah, it turns out it can be traced to the Illuminati. It's like in The Simpsons where it's like, say the word, but you're waiting for Illuminati to come up. So I'm like, oh, God, it's the Illuminati again. Makes me not believe it. But then I'm also, maybe it makes me believe it more, because maybe it's all the Illuminati. Isn't that kind of the idea of them?
Illuminati is a weird one, because the Illuminati does exist in a form of...
Does it?
Kind of, yeah. It's like a black magic type. No, maybe I'm talking shit. I heard that Illuminati the illuminated ones, and that it was more likely to be...
Yeah, but what you're saying now sounds like a conspiracy as well.
I don't know, like a group for the super smart. It's not like a conspiracy, it's just...
You think
super smart and important people just thought, fuck it, we'll
that's
all
Mensa tis.
Create a club.
That's Mensa.
That's Mensa. Oh, yeah, I guess it is Mensa. It's pretty much Mensa.
That's Mensa.
What you're describing is Mensa.
Yeah, but back then, like, Mensa didn't have any competition. Like, they called themselves the Illuminati.
So it's the rival.
Because information is power, especially back then.
I don't know about the Illuminati, but the reason it... like grabs our attention every time we talk about it is because we know about like the Rothschilds and these other ridiculously power, like more power than our government.
I need to do
families.
An Illuminati episode on the actual, the other side of the
do
Illuminati.
An Illuminati episode on the Rothschilds and like Rupert Murdoch.
No, the Rothschilds is the other end of the spectrum. That's like what you guys are thinking, but the Illuminati is like a different...
Is it anything to do with the Freemasons?
Maybe. I can't remember now.
This is where we need to do an episode on it, because we're just saying words that we know.
I think it's something to do with black magic as well, though. It's like...
Black magic.
The Masons.
Black magic cult. When you're like, no, it's real. It's about black magic. I'm like, who told you it was real then?
But black magic is real, isn't it?
Assuming black magic's real.
Well, it doesn't work. I'm not saying it works or it doesn't, but black magic is a thing that people do, right?
Well, I guess, but is it real?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's real. I'm just saying that people do it, and a lot of people... If loads of important people thought it was real and joined a massive cult to do it, that's real enough. Obviously,
it feels like a bit of a leap to be this society of people who believe black magic is real are also the ones that are controlling the world.
I don't know. It's not... That's the conflation. It's not the ones that control the world.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. The ones that are controlling the world are the one that you did the episode on already. It's
that's the New World Order and New Illuminati. World Order, yeah. But the Illuminati,
I get them conflated.
In the classic sense, is more of a sort of like different society. Not controlling the world, but just a secret society of occult background.
Right.
I don't know which Illuminati he's talking about. Come to that. I think he means the Masonic Society.
I was
going to
say, I don't think he means the Magic Club.
I think he means the Illuminati of like the controlling the world type. But I just call them the Masons. It's just Masonic. Yeah. Illuminati is a new. Yeah. It's like a hip term from the Masons, isn't it?
I might have to cut this, but joined the Masons.
When?
And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, it's just normal. It's not what people say. It's not all like, it's all nonsense what people say. And I was just like, I don't
they
know.
Would say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, shit. But he's like, isn't he? Or he was.
That's what they go for.
Yeah.
Because they tried to go after.
Yeah.
And what?
Am I allowed to say this?
We're going to cut this anyway. We're going to cut it.
They're going to cut it. I'm just telling these guys by the Masons. And they go after the men.
It is a boys' club, for sure.
It's mad.
That's how they frame it. They frame it as a men's club.
Yeah.
But we know people that have come out of the Masons, and it sounds pretty oppressive.
Yeah, that's what I think. I'm like, okay. He's like, oh, so far there's just like charity stuff and everything. It's actually really nice, and it's just companies looking out for each other. I'm like, yeah, doing each other favors and under fucking table handshakes. Fucking gross.
Yeah.
Rachel, like, we can't have this in the episode.
No, I've had to cut
that
anyway.
Rachel had a. Who's Masons and
no?
Oh,
ooh, juicy.
Oh, and they had people.
Out. Oh, Flowers by Irene.
Oh my god.
And yeah, apparently they were like.
Does that need cutting?
Yeah, that definitely
I
needs
might
cutting.
I might deploy loads of beeps, so it's not actually intelligible in any way. It's just me going juicy.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing, yeah.
I'll do that. I've done it a few times. It's funny to me.
Right, where were we on this thing? The conspiracy. I think we've pretty much...
We were being miserable. We were talking about Tories and shit. I don't know. It all feels...
Were we?
No, I don't
Illuminati
know.
Illuminati and just... the Masons. We're talking about the Masons. The bit that got bleeped out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they just think that everyone's part of the communist conspiracy.
You could say that for a lot of conspiracies.
There's a lot of evidence to say that some people, other people, believed that. I think the interesting part was like the facts that they thought that Karl Marx was like part of the Illuminati and started the French and Russian revolutions.
Oh yeah, that's pretty bonkers.
The verdict is, since the end of the Cold War, the spectre of an international communist conspiracy has proved to be invalid. The John Birch Society has been, to a large extent, overtaken by those events and only recently started to make an impact again with its theories on Bush's New World Order. When Bush refers to the NWO, it is like... Bush, this is how old this book is. When Bush refers to an NWO.
And it's like in like present tense when he refers to it.
Yeah, it's nuts. it is less likely to be a reference to an international conspiracy, however, than a desire to see US-style democracy practiced in those countries that he has on his famous Axis of Evil list. What? I don't understand any of that sentence.
The Axis of Evil, don't you remember that?
No.
I remember that.
Yeah, there was big, like Bill Bailey did a sketch on the Axis of Evil.
Oh, really?
he made a song about it, yeah. But yeah, no, he talked about the Axis of Evil all the time. It was because, I swear, like a reporter challenged him on it. It was like, you can't just dub these people as evil because it's racist.
It's so sweeping just to be like evil.
Evil. These word. People are evil. It's like, evil. No, you can't say that because it's tarnishing a whole religion and it's really racist. So he created the Axis of Evil, which was almost like good people up here, and then you can at any point come. Yeah, it was weird. It was really weird.
Wow.
Yeah.
But at the time, I remember reading it and thinking, oh, that makes sense. But then I was like 14. So.
Yeah.
Cool. There's loads of magazines. I won't read all of them out, to be honest. just interesting. There's loads of magazines that they mention that could be propaganda or disinformation.
All of them.
Private Eye magazine.
Yeah.
Liberty Lobby.
I guess the whole idea of Private Eye is that it's supposed to be like irreverent, right?
I don't know. I've
so the
seen
idea
it.
Of that being propaganda. Oh, I guess anything's propaganda because it does have like a certain leaning, doesn't it? Everything has a leaning, so it's all propaganda.
Yeah. This shows propaganda.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What are we trying to push again?
Just fuck Tories or something.
Just the Tories. What are we trying to push? The Tories off a cliff?
What are we plugging?
So anyway, Tis,
have you got any stuff that isn't baited in the blue blood?
Okay, here's a big one. This one will shock you. The quote-unquote real William Shakespeare.
Furious. I've never heard anything about this.
Exactly.
Go on.
Shakespeare's identity has never been proven beyond his birth certificate and a few legal documents and anecdotes. More importantly, what little is known of Shakespeare seems at odds with the authorship of the plays. He seems worldly, well-educated, and generous-spirited.
So he seemed very well-versed in Venice.
With a wide knowledge of arts, literature, medicine, and seafaring. For one person who might not have been educated.
Sounds fishy to me. I reckon we should do a whole episode on that.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. I think there's definitely an episode.
I can't believe
there.
I never read this book. This is called...
I know.
No.
Oh, my God.
I'll do that slate in on Shakespeare. I actually really like Shakespeare now.
What do you fancy? Let's do some, like, numbers. A number between 16 and 303.
Oh my days.
It really could be anything. Beef, I'm going to let you go first.
Pick a number. 16 and 303.
I'm calling it now. Episode 303 is going to be the last episode of Weird Tales.
Oh, man alive. I don't know. Let's go for 237.
237.
Better be good, Beef.
You're cutting right through.
That's why I didn't want to go first. It was too much pressure.
Oh, religious conspiracies.
Oh.
What a boom. Right.
That's mad. Wow, how did I do that?
Oh,
maybe I'm psychic.
Mate, these ones are going to rustle your jimmies. In a good way.
my jimmies are fully prepared to be rustled. Yeah, go on then.
Oh, God, this whole page. Moses was Egyptian. Is that controversial? Where was Moses from?
Is it controversial that Moses was Egyptian?
Yeah.
Not really.
I don't think that's controversial.
No,
oh,
he
not
was...
Hebrew.
Carry on.
Okay.
What does it mean? I don't know what that means.
I don't know what the difference is. The suggestion
that
Moses might be Egyptian, not Hebrew, is as old as the Old Testament. Old then.
The world's first conspiracy.
Exodus describes him as such. The similarities between the Ten Commandments and the Egyptian Book of the Dead have often been noted, some including controversial author Lawrence Gardner in Genesis of the Grail Kings claim Moses was a pharaoh Akhenaten who angered Egyptian religious authorities by closing down temples and building new ones devoted to a vague, faceless, omniscient god called Aten. Many similarities exist between the childhoods of Akhenaten and Moses. It was decreed that if Akhenaten was a son... No, wait. Fucking...
It was decreed that if it was son, potential heir to the throne of Amenhotep III, he should be killed. Oh shit, someone's ringing me. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Yeah, sorry, someone's ringing me in the middle.
I forget he films on his phone.
Is it yeah. Moses?
Is it God? Is he annoyed?
So basically, that it's saying that Moses is Akhenaten, the secret
right,
history.
So Moses is this.
I don't know so what that means, that, though.
No, does that mean that
it's controversial because Moses isn't real?
Right.
Oh, so they're saying that it wasn't.
They're saying that Moses was a different dude, and that their childhoods were similar.
Right.
But if you've got a theology degree, was Moses real?
Yeah, as far as I'm aware.
Tiss, I mean, can we just take a pause to have Tiss's version of the story of Moses?
Yeah, tell us all about Moses, Tiss.
Tiss's Bible stories.
Moses was a slave. No! Fucking Moses was the stepson. Was he found in the bulrushes? Was this Moses in the bulrushes?
Yeah, yeah. Good start.
Fuck
yeah.
Yes. Right, he was in the bulrushes. His mum, like, threw him away in the bulrushes. No, wait, no. She threw him downstream. He ended up in the bulrushes. And then he gets picked out by, like, the king's wife. Or the pharaoh's wife. Or just some, like, dude who's really high up's wife. And then he ends up being like the stepson or the, you know, adopted son of the pharaoh. And then he's got like a half brother who's someone else. I can't remember his name. But anyway, I swear he becomes a slave again and then leads a slave rebellion against the pharaoh because wasn't he was Hebrew and it was the Egyptians and the Egyptians enslaved the Hebrews and he found out and was like, that's fucking
Israelites.
Bullshit. Israelite. Is that?
Israelite.
Right.
And then.
That is, yeah, so far you're not far off.
Yeah, man. I'm on it. And then.
I laugh about Tiss's Bible stories, but he remembers way more than me.
It's because it's been like, isn't Emperor's New Groove basically this story?
No, that's the king's new emperor, the emperor's new clothes, isn't it? Emperor's new groove.
What film am I thinking of then? I'm thinking of a film
with
Moses.
You're thinking of Prince of Egypt.
Yeah, Prince of Egypt.
Yes.
Emperor's New Groove is very different. Emperor's New Groove actually really fucking rocks. It's a really underrated Disney film.
Doesn't he turn into a camel in that film?
Yeah, he's a llama.
I was just getting to that bit. So Moses turns into a camel. Oh, God.
I can't cope. I'm sweating.
You know what? The listeners really miss out on something from not being able to see the reactions. Because Tiss's reaction when he said, wait, wasn't he a camel? Was very, very good.
Oh, God. So that's the story amazing. Of Moses. So when Moses leads a revolution. And then the fucking, they're getting a chase, and then he parts the sea, walks through the sea, shuts the sea. That's like, boom, like, fucking, see ya. And then they roam the desert for fucking ages, and like, really long. Yep. And then they find Jerusalem?
Yeah, they're going towards the promised land.
Yeah.
But by then, Joshua is the one. Who's like takes him?
Is that
takes the Israelites into the promised land?
Is the wall that wall? Do they? That's the wall of
that's
the place, right?
Jericho.
That's the wall of Jericho. That wall that they put the notes into.
Oh no! That's the Wailing Wall.
Yes. What's that?
No. So Jericho was like the beginning of the land that God promised them. And they were like, well, we'll just go mental and just like declare war against these people. God was like, no, we're not doing that. And so told them to march around the city 7 times and that God would just bring the walls down, like, without there being any need for them to, like, fight and stuff. And they did that, and then the walls came down. But anyway, I mean, your recollection of Moses is pretty good.
Yeah, you remember it a lot more than I did. Isn't that the same story that has the burning bush in it?
Yeah.
Isn't it the burning bush that tells him?
Yeah.
Fuck.
That was the one bit I remembered, and it was the one bit I just didn't remember.
So there's a conspiracy about that as well. There's a conspiracy that that bush could have been a psychedelic properties in the bush, and the burning, the smoke could have caused hallucinations and a connection to something divine.
I think it's a typical example of people reading the Bible and thinking it's a literal
thing. I think a lot of the problems with interpretation of the Bible come from people saying literally the bush got up and started talking, like lips formed on the leaves and stuff.
Do you think he meant like burning bush was like a sort of like euphemism for like so I was on the mound burning the bush, yo.
Again, listeners, you missed something from not being able to see that.
No, I don't. So
it must have been around then, though. Definitely must have been around.
Yeah, there are some people that would say that it was. So the reason the burning bush was so symbolic it's so symbolic today is because it was, the whole point is that it was a bush that was on fire, but it wasn't burning. So it was a burning, as in, so it almost makes it more of a sign that it's God, because it's the natural thing for it to happen would be that the bush would just decay into ashes, but it didn't, and so that's why. But yeah, I think some other people would say it's not really literal, it's that's it was Moses having like a vision, and maybe like you say, maybe he was burning his own bush and having a good old toke on it. But I don't
like that, like that woman from Weird News.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I don't think so. I don't think Moses was high. But I've not heard that conspiracy before. I think you get this quite a lot with biblical narrative, that at the same time that those books were written and those stories about Moses were written. Oh, whoops, that's my phone. Let me jump. Sorry, guys. You know, there would have been countless tales of other people doing things, and you know, some, yeah. So but I've not heard that story before.
No.
What, Moses?
Yeah, thanks, Tish. You've taught me about Moses tonight.
That would have helped me to agree, wouldn't it?
But, yeah, I don't, whenever you dig into the evidence and ask people for the evidence on this kind of stuff, there isn't really anything.
How can you bring evidence? It's so many hundreds of years.
It's really speculative,
ago.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, but they can't. What I mean is, they couldn't really point you to like any literature from the time or any real concrete thought. It's just someone's gone, these stories are similar. I wonder if Moses was someone else. But I must watch The Emperor's New Groove, because that would tell me more about it.
Exactly, that's where you're going to get your real education.
Yeah.
Genius.
Right, we're getting on. Tis, I'm going to give you a number and you fly us through whatever it lands on super quick.
Yeah.
100.
100. We are in the section of global conspiracies.
Vague.
The Knights of the Gold Circle, we've got the Bolshevik World Order, or we've got the US Federal Reserve.
That first one, the Gold Circle, what's that?
The Knights of the Golden Circle. The existence of the Knights of the Golden Circle is an unambiguous fact. Many histories and articles have been written about them. They were chiefly Democrats who opposed the Civil War, but at the same time were also opposed to the abolition of slavery. Oh, God. Oh, God.
I don't really want to touch this one. I'm not going to touch this one.
Wow, those dudes sound cool. What are they about? Oh, shit.
Yeah, I might have to beep that. Just I don't want to sound like I'm affiliating with them.
Just want to fucking keep it going. Let's just not fight. That's just the side that wants to keep slavery, but without fighting. Yeah. It doesn't.
That's just the Confederates.
Yeah.
They're just not fighting for
it. It's as if someone from the Confederacy stood up and went, "Hey, I got an idea. Let's not fight and we just win."
Yeah, exactly. Can we not fight, but also just keep things going? Business as usual, no?
Yeah, if we just don't fight because I get my way.
Right, let's leave that one there then.
That's pretty much, it's absolutely a non-starter, isn't it? I don't know what the conspiracy is on that one. Yankee group who supported the South during the US Civil War. There you go.
What's the name of the book, Tis? You never actually said what the book is called.
The book is called Conspiracy Encyclopedia.
Oh, you did say that.
Introduction by Tom Burnett. The Encyclopedia of Conspiracy Theories. It's published by Conspiracy Books.
Just in case you were worried about what it was about.
I'm going to call this episode Adam Tissington Presents Conspiracy Encyclopedia.
Well, we have a lot more episodes where that came from. But, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there.
Yeah.
And it was really fun. I actually, despite like the kind of miserable stuff that was at the beginning and right at the very end there, I had a real good time going through some proper old school conspiracy stuff and just waffling nonsense.
Yeah, it was good fun. We'll have to come back to those religious conspiracies. I'm keen to see what the other ones on that page are. But yeah, we can do another episode on that.
I'm thinking next time we'll do listener stories because it was so in demand.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Listener stories next. Right. So I hope everyone's enjoyed everything coming back to normal after the diversion last series. Some people really enjoyed it. I imagine some people didn't, but they didn't get in contact, apart from shout out to Fred, my cousin, who I just found out last weekend listens to the show and is a big Weird Tales fan. So thanks for listening, Fred. But he said, I really love it. I listened to like over 100 episodes now, but I haven't really liked the newest series. And I said, oh, sorry about that. Everything's going to be back to normal soon. And it is. So, Fred, this one's for you, baby. Do you not listen to the week? Because that doesn't exist anymore. Instead, we've got question of the week.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about this.
So I've got a few of these. I thought I'd pick this one first because it's so simple. It's a very basic question. And I feel like it's something we would have said on the show before. But if not, Kim, this one's for you. This is from Kim the Trucker, who's emailed us a few times with her British boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said, how did you guys meet? I will say that you two met through me. So if Beef, you say how you met me, and then Tis, you say how you met me, and then I'll say how you met through me.
Cool.
I can remember meeting you, but I can't tell if this was when our friendship started. But I remember meeting. For some reason I wasn't in. Neither of us were in assembly. I think I was late to school because I'd had a doctor's appointment or something, and you were sat outside. And I said hello to you. I was like, oh, you're right. And you went, yeah, I've got kicked out of assembly because I've got blue hair.
Oh, wow. You're really going back. I actually got excluded for that.
Did you?
I didn't just get kicked out of assembly. I got kicked out of school.
Wow. Well, that was obviously the start of your exclusion period then.
Because you had blue hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had blue hair.
Oh, you've got blue hair. Let's stop your education. What the fuck?
This is something about our school, ladies and gents. I dyed my hair blue for fun. It was like summer holidays very soon. So we broke up from summer holidays on the Friday. And normally on the last day of school, you can go in non-uniform. Thursday, I went into school with blue hair. They said, you're not coming into school like that. Sent me home. I got excluded officially. But then they said, but you can come in tomorrow because it's non-uniform day and it counts as part of your non-uniform. And then after that, it's the summer holidays. Why send me home?
It's utter just Jobsworth.
Yeah, it really was.
Bullshit.
Anyway, yeah.
But the good thing that came out of it was our friendship. That, like, I don't remember if we were friends before that, but I don't
really remember
knowing you before that.
It's one of the things with school where it's just like you just all know each other. Yeah. So I can't remember meeting Beef, but I knew of Beef. We weren't in the same classes, that's the thing, until sort of towards the end. So we were sort of acquaintances in school, but then sort of year 10, 11 became better friends.
Yeah.
And then became much better friends when you moved to Aylesbury because you then got the same school bus.
We got the same bus. Yeah. That's it. X15.
Yeah. When was that? Like, when was that assembly then? Not the last day of school.
Oh no, that would have been like year 9, year 8, something like that. Like,
right. Yeah. Yeah.
Years before that would be like when we, sort of knew each other. But I would say we sort of became we knew each other, but then became pretty good friends sort of later on in school.
I think
year 10, 11.
There wasn't really a natural way that our friendship circles crossed, and then I became good friends with Ben Hall.
Right.
And then he was like a mutual friend, and so then I would go to stuff, and you were there, and then that was it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's simple. We were friends from school. You don't really know how your friendships meet from school, but that's how I know Beef.
Mm.
Tis, how did we meet?
So, the first time we ever met was through the window at the sick form block.
It was.
Wow, it was like that. Through Ash. And it was like to join the band or to audition for the band. I don't know which one. I feel like it was like, I guess it was an audition. Yeah, it was the audition first. And that was pretty much the first time until we started practicing, right? Did we see each other around school?
Well, my memory of it is someone on Ash's school bus said to her, "Are you, is Bob's band looking for a guitarist?" And she said, "No, but they're looking for a drummer. A new drummer, because our old drummer was leaving." And then you said, "Well, I can play drummer." He said, "Well, he can play drums as well." And it was something like that. And then she said, "Well, get him to speak to Bob. He'll be in the sixth form block tomorrow at lunchtime." And then you just knocked on the window, and I leant out the window and was like, "Yeah, come to a practice at the weekend." And that was it. Then you became our drummer.
Yeah, that's fucking mad. I bet it was like Luke Postle or something, because she was the Winslow bus.
Yeah,
I
can't think sounds right.
Anyone else? Because Luke was a guitarist,
right? So maybe he was asking for him, and then he said, "Oh, okay. Well, I know someone who plays drums or something."
Yeah, maybe something like that. Yeah,
yeah. I just remember you knocking on that window. Yeah. So yeah, me and Tis were in a band, and then we used to play, and Beef used to come to our gigs because he was our friends with like the rest of the band. So Tis was a few years younger than us, but yeah, there you go.
I do remember meeting Tis though for the first time.
Do you?
Yeah, I seem to remember you saying to me, Bob, like, "Oh, come meet our new drummer." And you're like, "Yeah, he came and did an audition. He was all right. So he's going to come be in our band." I was like, "Oh, cool." And then we came and met you. You were outside the science block, Tis.
Yeah.
And, you guys were talking about a gig that was coming up. And we didn't really say anything to each other.
Well,
but
actually, amazingly, the first time that Tis played live with us was at your birthday.
Yeah.
Was it really?
That was his first time he played live with us.
Was that the first live gig? Was maybe that's why I was there, because I was like, "Oh, it's going to be my party."
Party.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. It probably
was. It was the first time Tis played live with us, because when we went to pick up his drum kit the next day, the pub wouldn't give
it
back to us.
They kept it hostage.
Yeah.
They kept your kit hostage, didn't they?
Yeah, that is mad, isn't it?
Because they were waiting on the balance of the room, and that's so funny.
They found out that people were, Alan's friends were jumping out the window into the skip.
Oh my god, I didn't know that bit. I forgot that bit if I didn't know. That's
yeah,
funny.
He was like, "Yeah, I've just heard about what you guys were doing last night." I was like, "What are you talking about?" All coy, like, "What? What? I don't know." He's like, one of you guys were smoking stuff and jumping out the windows. And I didn't even try to pretend. I went, "Oh yeah, that was my mate's friend, sorry." It's like completely grasped him up. Yeah.
So there we go, Kim. That's how we met each other. Me and Beef went to school together. Tis joined my band, and then those two met through the band.
That was a wicked gig. We did some good covers on that gig.
It was so fun. It was so fun.
That was such was a good. Fun gig. That's probably my first ever gig. That must have been...
Probably.
Well, no, actually, I played the last assembly of school. Does that count? I don't think it really does.
I don't think that counts.
The tavern's got to be not my a gig. First gig.
Interesting.
No. Right.
So there we go. Send more questions in. I mean, they were supposed to be really quick fire, but we sort of went on a trip down memory lane with that one. But send more in. I've got a few backed up anyway, but like keep them coming because it's a fun thing to just answer a listener's question at the end of an episode. Yeah, that's it. Oh, I really want to say thanks to...
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Benny, aka Sugary Benny, who sent me a big envelope of fan mail full of stickers and cards and all sorts that he'd done, his cool design. So check him out. You can find him online. I'll insert now the actual name of the website. So the website is sugarybenny.myshopify.com, or you can just search Sugary Benny on Google and you'll find him wherever he is online. He's on Instagram and all sorts. That sugary is in S-U-G-A-R-Y. So yeah, sugarybenny.myshopify.com. But yeah, he makes all sorts of cool stuff, and he sent us a big load of freebies. And Benny, I've actually got one of those slime cat stickers on the front of my laptop already. So it's got pride of place. And I've only got three stickers on my new laptop, so that's like right there from the start.
Shit,
wow.
I've got one of Krusty the Clown. One of it's the Foxhound logo from Metal Gear Solid,
yeah,
and the other is the Slime Cat. So there you go, it's in good company. And I think we're done, guys. Tis, what's the email address that people can contact us at to send those messages and questions?
bob.emailshoy@sudo.
No, Beef, what's the message? What's the web. Email?
It's unexplainableuk@gmail.com.
No, that's the old one. The email is wtatupod@gmail.com. Seeing how much you guys pay attention to that stuff. It's wtatupod@gmail.com, or you can go on the website, which is
www.gmail.ukweirdtalesunexplainable.qk.com.
Or you can just go to weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com, where you can also contact us. You can also contact us through there. You can find links to all the stuff that's important, the social media accounts. You can buy merch on there. You can contribute monetarily. Whatever you need to do on that, but to do with the pod is on there. You can chat to us on Facebook. People will do that. You do all that stuff. You can also go on my website. This is actually the only show I've got running at the moment. I'm having a little break, but you can see the other stuff I have worked on. It's bobshoy.com, bobshoy.com.
Amazing.
And there's links on there as well to my Patreon and stuff. So yeah, it's all there. Just go on bobshoy.com, weirdtalesandtheunexplainable.com. Between those two, there's everything you need.
We don't listen to this bit. Me and Tess don't need to listen.
I know you don't.
We,
that's why I thought I'd throw it your way for a second.
It's not for us. It's not for us to know. I don't need to send an email to myself.
Right.
Which is good, really, because I still didn't hear what the email address was when you said it, and it's been our new email address for a few years now, hasn't it?
Yeah, the listeners listen because people do actually email to that one now, not the old one.
And,
so.
And we good. Love the emails, so keep them
yeah,
coming.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for listening, everyone. We love you a lot. Next time we're going to be doing some conspiracy. We just did that. We're going to be doing some listener stories because everyone asked for them. So I'll be going through the emails between now and then to dig out some gems. And if you've got one, maybe you might be able to get it in time. We'll probably be recording before this episode goes out, to be honest. But if you're super quick, maybe. Like, as in, as soon as you listen, that night, get it in. And then we're done. And Tis, end the episode on a pun, because we're bringing them back as of this episode.
Conspiracy later?
Yeah. No, you nearly said it. It's the easy one that we did every time we did a conspiracy.
Conspiracy.
I was throwing you a bone because God. It was...
Oh, God! Why did I cut off before the conspiracy? I said see you later.
Right. Conspiracy. Let's just try again. And Tis, until next time.
Conspiracy you later.
Love it. Love you lots, everyone. Bye, 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 bye.
Bye,
bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye, bye,
start my day like a boss. Sun rays like a boss. I tap the phone like a boss. Coffee's on like a boss. I mow the lawn like a boss. Impressing Sean like a boss. So connected like a boss. So effective like a boss. I let it drop like a boss. Clean it up like heat and smart like I do my part like a boss. Get in the car.
That Adam Buxton thing was like he was like, I'm not actually allowed to sign stuff on the premises, but
no.
I want to be able to sign stuff if you want, so if you fancy it, I'll be over in Plonkers afterwards. And I was laughing because I thought he'd made up the name of a pub. And then we went out, I looked up and said there was actually a pub called Plonkers.
Really?
Yeah, and that's where he was.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
It sounds so much like the sort of fake pub name that he would make up.
Plonkers.
I was so shocked when it was real.
That's
like,
incredible.
If anyone fancies having a chat, I'll be over in Plonkers.
That's amazing. I was quite jealous that you met him.
Yeah, we had a good chat. It was really nice.
Yeah, he seems like a good guy.
He slagged off the.
Did he?
So quickly he showed his hand. I said, but we nicked her bucket of booze, so that's all right.
What did he say to that?
He was just laughing. We had a good chat. It was really nice.
Oh.
Yeah, and he said then after we talked about that, he said, "Oh, what's your podcast then?" And I said, "Oh, because I was actually wearing the Weird Tales T-shirt." I said, "Oh, it's this." And he was like, oh, that's when he was like, let's get a picture of it then so I can remember it. So I'll check it out. And I was like, okay.
Wow.
And I just kept finding it so weird that there's a picture of me on his phone.
Yeah.
That's so cool. Weird, isn't it?
Nice. That's good of him to make himself available afterwards, though.
Yeah, it was really nice, yeah. He was just in there having a pint.
Wow.
In Plonkers.
Rubbing shoulders with all the important people.
Yeah.
Superstar, they're watching me. IoT.
Just fuck Tories or something, I don't know.
This show's propaganda.